In 1990, as the Berlin Wall crumbled and the Soviet Union teetered on collapse, Alvin Toffler published what would become one of the most prescient analyses of our changing world. Power Shift completed his groundbreaking trilogy that began with Future Shock and the Third Wave, cementing his reputation as one of the 20th century's most influential futurists. The book arrived at a pivotal moment when traditional power structures were disintegrating across the globe. Remarkably, despite being written before the Internet revolution, Toffler's insights about how knowledge would transform power relationships have proven extraordinarily accurate. Steve Jobs reportedly kept a copy on his nightstand, while Chinese leader Zhao Ziyang had it translated for Communist Party officials. Even today, tech executives and political leaders still reference its framework for understanding how information reshapes society. This third installment of Toffler's trilogy examines not just the process of change or its direction, but who controls it, making it perhaps the most immediately relevant of his works for understanding today's power dynamics. Power springs from three fundamental sources: violence, muscle, wealth, money, and knowledge, mind. These three elements constitute the ultimate power triad, operating at every level from intimate relationships to global politics. Throughout history, these three sources have constantly interacted and transformed each other, but their relative importance has shifted dramatically. Toffler argues that power isn't just about quantity, but quality, how effectively it achieves its wielder's goals. Violence represents the lowest quality power, as it can only punish, not reward. It's inflexible and generates resistance. Wealth offers medium quality power through its versatility to both reward and punish. Knowledge, however, represents the highest quality power, the most efficient and versatile tool that can punish, reward, persuade, and transform. Knowledge is the most democratic source of power, Toffler explains. Unlike guns and money, which are finite, knowledge is infinitely expandable. While force and wealth cannot be used simultaneously by different people, knowledge can be shared without being depleted, and often produces more knowledge through its use. Most revolutionary of all, knowledge can be grasped by both weak and poor, making it a perpetual threat to the powerful even as they use it. This explains why every power holder throughout history has sought to control knowledge within their domain. The Catholic Church once monopolized literacy and learning. Modern dictatorships control media and communications. Even in democracies, governments classify millions of documents annually as secret. Despite our focus on wealth distribution, knowledge is actually the most maldistributed power resource, and the coming struggle for power will increasingly center on access to information. Today, we're witnessing a historic power shift as knowledge increasingly amplifies both force and wealth. Military might now relies on congealed mind, information-rich technologies from fighter planes functioning as flying computers to defense systems making millions of logical inferences per second. Similarly, wealth creation in advanced economies depends fundamentally on brain power and information processing. Knowledge has transformed from merely supporting money and muscle power to becoming their very essence, the ultimate amplifier. The most significant economic development of our time is the dramatic transition from muscle-based to mind-based wealth creation. While American industrial giants like General Motors and U.S. Steel clung to traditional industrial-era thinking, Japanese leaders like Sony and Toyota embraced the information age, investing heavily in robotics, computer-integrated manufacturing, and knowledge-based technologies. This fundamental shift to a knowledge economy has triggered unprecedented global competition, exposed the fundamental obsolescence of centrally planned socialist economies, forced developing nations to completely rethink their industrialization strategies, and fundamentally disrupted traditional power relationships between labor, management, and capital. In this new super-symbolic economy, wealth creation increasingly depends on the instant communication and manipulation of data, ideas, and symbols. The collision between this new wealth creation system and entrenched defenders of the old smokestack economy represents the dominant economic conflict of our time, driving the massive wave of corporate restructuring and creative destruction reshaping the global business landscape. Companies that fail to adapt to this new paradigm, like Kodak with digital photography or Blockbuster with streaming content, quickly find themselves obsolete. Knowledge has emerged as the ultimate substitute resource, infinitely versatile and essentially inexhaustible. In manufacturing, computer-driven flexible technologies enable endless product customization and variety instead of requiring long, identical production runs. New knowledge substitutes for raw materials through sophisticated miniaturization techniques and the creation of advanced composites, like carbon fiber and specialized polymers. It dramatically reduces transportation and logistics costs through better tracking systems, GPS, and supply chain optimization. Knowledge similarly replaces traditional energy inputs through innovations like superconductivity, smart grids, and energy-efficient designs. Perhaps most crucially, knowledge saves time, that hidden but vital economic input, by dramatically speeding communications, market entry, and product development cycles. While much attention focuses on computers and automation replacing manual labor, knowledge increasingly substitutes for financial capital, potentially threatening traditional financial power structures more than labor unions ever did. Companies like Toyota and Dell have cut inventory costs by 60-70% through sophisticated just-in-time information systems, producing millions of units annually with minimal pipeline stock. With instantaneous global fund transfers, cloud computing, and reduced physical space requirements, businesses need far less working capital than before. As pioneering financier Michael Milken notably summarized, "Human capital has replaced dollar capital as the key strategic resource." The traditional economic sector classifications like agriculture, manufacturing, and services have become increasingly obsolete and artificial as symbolic processing or mind work comes to dominate all fields. Workers across every sector now primarily engage with information systems. Modern farmers use sophisticated computers for precision agriculture and grain futures calculations. Steelworkers monitor complex digital control systems rather than manually manipulating molten metal. And bankers model intricate financial markets with powerful analytics software. The industrial proletariat is rapidly transforming into what some observers call the cognitariat, knowledge workers whose primary tool is their trained mind rather than their physical labor. As the economy becomes increasingly super symbolic, struggles for control of knowledge are breaking out everywhere. With knowledge reducing the need for raw materials, labor, time, space, and capital, its value soars, making information the central battleground of the advanced economy. This battle plays out daily in supermarkets, where retailers and manufacturers fight for control of customer data. Barcodes, initially developed to address checkout lines and accounting errors, have transferred power by giving retailers unprecedented information about product performance. Now, says Pat Collins of Routh Supermarkets, we know as much as, if not more than, the manufacturer about his product. With sophisticated software tools analyzing sales, profitability, timing, costs, and traffic flow, retailers now compel manufacturers to pay for shelf space. Consumers now pay twice for every purchase, once with money and again by providing valuable information that retailers, manufacturers, banks, and credit card companies fight to control. When a shopper buys even simple items like margarine, they reveal product preferences, timing, brand loyalty, and when paying by credit card, their identity, address, income level, and lifestyle patterns. The battle extends to telecommunications networks, the key infrastructure of the 21st century. Companies worldwide now depend on electronic networks connecting everything from McDonald's 9,400 restaurants across 46 countries to Citibank's worldwide operations. Once seen as merely administrative tools, these networked systems are now strategic weapons, helping companies protect established markets and attack new ones. As networks become more sophisticated, they're evolving from merely transmitting messages to actively analyzing and transforming them. These extra-intelligent networks deliver output different from what was input, raising profound questions about bias, ethics, and responsibility. By creating a self-aware electronic neural system, we're changing cultural and business rules, raising issues about privacy, fairness, and redress. The battle over information control extends beyond individual networks to the standards that govern how products interact. Today, globe and wars over standards are erupting across industries, with the most explosive conflicts directly related to how information, knowledge, and entertainment are created and distributed. These battles will shift power among industrial giants and affect national economies. The global economic war of the 21st century has already begun, with knowledge-based weapons proving most strategic. Beyond currency manipulation and trade policies, what truly matters are the products of mind work, scientific research, education, software, management expertise, communications, and electronic finance. Among these power sources, superior organization, particularly of knowledge itself, may be most crucial. Traditional bureaucracies are crumbling as their rigid compartmentalization fails to handle the complexity and speed of modern information flows. The cubbyhole mentality that divides work into isolated units creates bottlenecks that choke knowledge transfer. New organizational forms are emerging that prioritize free-flowing information over rigid departmental boundaries. The standardized corporation is giving way to highly customized, adaptable business models. These flex firms reject cookie-cutter approaches in favor of diverse organizational structures tailored to specific markets and conditions. This shift represents a kind of corporate decolonization, with family businesses and other non-traditional models gaining new relevance in the knowledge economy. Organizations are evolving into diverse power structures beyond traditional hierarchies. Toffler identifies multiple emerging models: pulsating organizations that expand and contract, two-faced organizations balancing contradictory needs, checkerboard organizations with mixed authority patterns, commissar organizations with parallel power structures, bureau-baronial organizations combining bureaucracy with feudal elements, skunk works organizations fostering innovation outside normal channels, and self-start teams with distributed leadership. The knowledge worker demands unprecedented autonomy, transforming the employer-employee relationship. Unlike interchangeable factory workers, knowledge workers possess unique skills that give them leverage and mobility. This shift creates new tensions as employees demand not just better compensation, but greater control over their work. Two imperatives emerge. Organizations must unblock minds to maximize productivity, while workers increasingly demand access to information previously hoarded by management. Corporate power is fragmenting from monolithic structures into complex mosaics. Attempts at meat-cleaver management that slash organizations often fail to recognize the intricate power relationships that actually drive business. Even within giant corporations, internal monopolies and fiefdoms create their own power dynamics. The concept of relational wealth, the value of connections between business units, becomes crucial as power disperses throughout these organizational mosaics. The knowledge revolution is radically transforming political power structures, creating new forms of governance and resistance. As information becomes the primary currency of power, traditional political institutions struggle to adapt, while new players emerge with surprising influence. We're entering a period of profound political transformation where traditional power structures, from dynasties to democracies, are being fundamentally reshaped. Political authority is shifting across multiple levels simultaneously, upward to transnational bodies, downward to local communities, and outward to non-governmental entities. This creates a mosaic democracy where ethnic identities gain new significance and pivotal minorities wield outsized influence through their strategic positioning in information networks. The mass democracy era concentrated power at the national level, reflecting mass production technology and national markets. Today's technologies simultaneously push production both downward, local bakeries returning to supermarkets, neighborhood photo processing, and upward to global levels, cars and computers assembled across multiple nations. This economic shift creates parallel political pressures, decentralization movements, alongside attempts to shift power to supranational bodies like the European Community. As bureaucracy dominates all smokestack states, an invisible party always wins elections regardless of who gets votes. Even the most popular leaders remain captives of this system, with bureaucrats, not elected officials, running governments and making most decisions credited to presidents and prime ministers. This reality explains why political leaders consistently struggle to implement their agendas through resistant bureaucracies. The revolutionary new economy is transforming government by reshaping relationships between politicians and bureaucrats while restructuring bureaucracy itself. Power shifts are already occurring among agencies, with power increasingly gravitating toward agencies regulating information and expanding functions like education, research, and environmental protection. After decades of government expansion, a remarkable reversal has occurred in advanced economies. Leaders as ideologically diverse as Republican Reagan and Socialist Mitterrand began systematically stripping away governmental operations. This privatization trend has spread globally from Mexico to Iraq and throughout Eastern Europe. This movement parallels business restructuring in the private sector, creating a necessary organizational alignment between government and business. The new communication technologies are becoming powerful tools for challenging and overthrowing state power worldwide. From Mexican men in California videotaping police brutality to Czech revolutionaries showing government violence on street corner monitors, media is weaponized against authorities. The 1989 Eastern European revolutions resulted from economic failure, Soviet withdrawal, and information flooding through borders despite censorship efforts. Communication has evolved through three distinct historical modes. In first-wave agrarian societies, communication was primarily mouth-to-ear within small groups, with crowds serving as the first mass medium. The Catholic Church became the first durable cross-border mass medium, giving it immense power against feudal rulers. Second-wave industrial societies required homogenization, creating newspapers, magazines, movies, radio, and television to deliver identical messages to millions simultaneously. The emerging third-wave system now customizes messages for specific population segments, reflecting the needs of the post-mass production economy that requires a heterogeneous workforce. Unlike second-wave media that operated independently, today's media are densely interconnected, feeding data, images, and symbols back and forth. Radio call-in shows become movies that air on television. Movies about TV news appear in theaters before showing on television. Newspapers monitor TV for breaking news, while television producers get ideas from print. This interpenetration transforms individual media into a system, reducing the power of any single channel while dramatically enhancing the power of the media system as a whole. Despite tight censorship, information now penetrates even the most guarded borders. Romanians watched Bulgarian television despite Ceausescu's restrictions, learning about dissidents through foreign broadcasts. Most East Germans accessed West German television that reported on demonstrations and border openings. During China's Tiananmen Square protests, Voice of America broadcast 11.5 hours daily, reaching an estimated 100 million Chinese listeners and even providing instructions to avoid government jamming. Modern revolutionaries strategically combine first-wave, second-wave, and third-wave communications to challenge regimes. When totalitarian governments control conventional media, religious organizations become crucial vehicles for dissent. transforming economic and social grievances into religious movements. In Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini brilliantly fused class resentment and nationalist rage with religious fervor, while combining first-wave face-to-face exhortation with third-wave technology, smuggled audio tapes played and duplicated in mosques to counter the Shah's control of second-wave media. A fundamental split is emerging between fast and slow economies based on their knowledge processing capabilities. Traditional advantages like strategic location, raw materials, and cheap labor are diminishing in value compared to knowledge infrastructure. Economic development now operates at hyperspeeds that create widening gaps between knowledge-rich and knowledge-poor regions. The greatest power imbalance on Earth today divides rich countries from poor, but this distribution will soon transform as the new wealth creation system spreads. As old divisions between capitalist, communist, and North-South fade, a new division emerges between the fast and the slow. This isn't merely metaphorical. Entire economies operate at different speeds. Just as advanced organisms process neural signals faster than primitive ones, advanced economies process transactions, decisions, ideas, and knowledge more rapidly. Fast economies generate wealth and power at accelerated rates compared to slow ones. In traditional peasant societies, economic processes move glacially, limited by tradition and poor communications. Innovation was dangerous when most lived at subsistence levels, and technological advances were barely perceptible across generations. The Industrial Revolution increased economic metabolism, but today's symbolic economy operates at unprecedented speeds, with barcodes, computers, scanners, and global data networks moving toward real-time operations. The new wealth system consists of a global network of markets, banks, production centers, and laboratories in constant communication, exchanging ever-increasing flows of data and knowledge. This fast economy drives economic advancement and power, while being decoupled from it means exclusion from the future, the fate facing many less developed countries. As the world's wealth production system accelerates, slow economies must speed up or drop out. Early signs show this happening already. The United States spent $125 billion annually on clothing in the 1980s, half from overseas cheap labor factories. Now, much of this work is returning to America because of speed requirements. Companies like Tandy Corporation have brought production back from South Korea to Texas using automated plants with more sophisticated equipment. These shifts reflect time's rising importance in economics. Retailers facing rapid fashion changes need quick response in low inventories, requiring fast turnaround on smaller lots, something Asian suppliers requiring 3-month advance orders cannot provide. By contrast, Italy's Benetton delivers mid-season reorders within weeks, and Hagar Apparel restocks customers every 3 days instead of 7 weeks. The power shift era has just begun, with the future up for grabs. As the East undergoes upheaval, the South divides, and the leading Western powers collide, diplomats frantically work to construct a new global order. But beyond their words and treaties, the new architecture of world power will depend on the quantity and quality of power each nation brings to the table. Nations can be categorized by whether their power rests on one, two, or all three legs of the violence-wealth-knowledge triad. Throughout the Cold War, America maintained balanced power with military might, economic clout, and superior knowledge resources from science to popular culture. The Soviet Union, by contrast, was a one-legged power, deriving superpower status exclusively from military strength, while its economy remained a shambling wreck, and its knowledge base was crippled by paranoid secrecy, poor telecommunications, mediocre education, and censored media. Socialism didn't collapse because of CIA plots or capitalist encirclement, but because it collided with the future. Just as Gutenberg's printing press loosened the Catholic Church's grip on knowledge and ignited the Protestant Reformation, computers and new communications media shattered Moscow's control of the mind in countries under its influence. State socialism's approach to knowledge was based on pre-cybernetic machine thinking. While Marx and Lenin criticized mechanical materialism, their own thinking remained steeped in analogies from pre-intelligent machinery. Society was seen as a machine to be engineered, with the state machine to be captured, and the class struggle as the locomotive of history. Socialism's founding belief was that private ownership of production means caused poverty and economic ills, and state ownership would solve these problems. Despite claiming to be scientific socialism, this approach failed spectacularly. After decades of excuses for shortages, even the USSR under Gorbachev had to import basic items like razor blades. What neither socialists nor capitalists imagined was that the most important property would become intangible knowledge, inexhaustible and simultaneously usable by many to create wealth. This revolutionary fact made their century-long property battles largely obsolete. The great irony is that the new wealth creation system has inverted Marx's inversion of Hegel. Knowledge now drives the economy, not the reverse. The computer revolution teaches that software is more important than hardware. Socialist economies, unprepared for an economy based on intangible resources, suffered a fatal collision with the future. Power depends on a delicate balance between chance and necessity in the universe. In a completely deterministic world, no one would have power over anything. It would be mere illusion. Yet power cannot function in a purely random universe either, as we would be prisoners of fortune. True power requires both chaos and order. This fundamental relationship connects to human biology and governance. We all crave both order and novelty, the need for order providing the primary justification for government's existence. Since Rousseau's social contract, the state has been seen as guaranteeing necessary social order. Without this vertical power, society quickly collapses into horror, as in war-torn Beirut. But how much order is enough? When a state imposes iron control, silences criticism, censors news, and terrorizes citizens, it creates what might be called surplus order, excessive control imposed not for society's benefit, but for those controlling the state. Such regimes lose moral legitimacy in an interdependent world. As nations transition towards super-symbolic economies, they require more horizontal self-regulation and less top-down control. Totalitarian control ultimately chokes economic advancement. The state with the lightest touch may accomplish the most. Despite this, violence and wealth will continue as powerful forces. Nevertheless, we are witnessing a historic power shift as knowledge, the highest quality power source, gains importance with every nanosecond. The emerging global power system requires a delicate balance between freedom, order, and chance. Freedom enables innovation and knowledge creation, while order provides the stability needed for economic development. Chance, the unpredictable element, ensures adaptation to rapid change. Systems that overemphasize any one element at the expense of the others will fail to thrive in the new knowledge-based power structure. The most successful societies will be those that maintain dynamic equilibrium among these three forces. The most important shift isn't from one party or nation to another, but in the relationships between violence, wealth, and knowledge as society speed toward tomorrow. As Churchill presciently noted, empires of the future are empires of the mind.